We're going to spend some time now thinking about what God has to say in His Word, in particular from Psalm 2. I want to start with a little bit of experiment on how I could possibly keep one of these eggs safe. So how can I drop an egg and yet keep it safe? So we'll just go with haven't done nothing to the egg. Let's see how it's going to work. Okay, we'll see if my aim works. That didn't work. Okay, what about, let's try and put it inside some protection. So we'll whack it slap bang in the middle of one of my kids' sleeping bags, who, if this doesn't work, then does anyone want a sleeping bag? So we'll try that. Okay, the egg's inside, and then we'll drop it. Okay, and then we'll see if I can find it again deep inside. There it is, and it's all good. It all works. You see that? So when the egg was inside, it was safe and protected. When it was surrounded, but when it was on its own, it got smashed. And that's a little bit like what we're going to look at from Psalm 2. But hold that thought as Psalm 2 teaches us about how we can be safe and protected and what is actually going to make us be in danger. So we're looking at Psalm 2. So please keep your Bibles open to Psalm 2, which is this great message to us from God about His King. But I want to also start by talking a little bit about families, because one of the ways that God shows His love for us is He has made us families together. And God has given families, mums and dads, to love their families and love their kids. Mums and dads help their kids to grow up to be healthy and strong, to know what is right and what is wrong, to know how to live. So God has put dad and mum in charge of the family to help make decisions, to help them to learn. Now, sometimes dad and mum have to make decisions for the children that is done out of love, but it isn't necessarily what the kids want, is it? In fact, sometimes for dad and mum, the most loving thing they can do for their kids is to say no. And that's really hard, isn't it? You want to love your kids, but it's hard as a parent to say no, and it's hard for the kids to think, but I really want this. But actually, sometimes that's the most loving thing to do. If the kids want to have junk food all the time, if the kids want to drink poison or stay up late and watch scary movies or never go to school, actually the most loving thing to do is to say, no, I want to run around with this sharp knife. Actually, it's more loving to say no, isn't it? And so God has put mum and dad in charge of the kids, but actually sometimes that means you don't get to do what you want. The problem is, actually, that sometimes is a little frustrating, isn't it? Because we want to do whatever we want whenever we want to. And when someone tells us, no, we can't do this, and this is the right thing to do, and this is what we need to be doing at the moment, that can get a bit frustrating, can't it? But love means doing not what everyone wants. Love means doing what is good for someone and will really bless them. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. So if you look at Psalm 2, it starts in the first few verses, we see the world doesn't want God to be the king. You see that in verses 1 to 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and His anointed one. The Lord is God, the creator of everything. And the anointed one is a way of talking about His special king. And so verse 3 goes on, let's tear off their chains, God's chains, the king's chains, and throw their ropes off us. People in the world are saying, we want to do whatever we want, whenever we want to. Having a God, having a king, makes us feel like we're chained up and slaves. And we want to be free to do whatever we want, whenever we want. But you know what? That's a little bit like saying, I want to sit in the car and never have to wear a seatbelt because it makes me feel kind of tied in. Or I want to ride my bike or my skateboard, but I don't want to wear a helmet because it messes with my stylish hairdo. You know, I want to do these things, and I want to cook and pull things out of the oven, hot things out of the oven, but I don't want to wear an oven mitt because it kind of cramps my style. So imagine, I mean, it's just kind of silly, isn't it? Because if you have an accident in the car without your seatbelt, that's really dangerous. If you have an accident, if you fall off your bike, you're wearing a helmet, it's going to keep your head safe, isn't it? You fall off your bike and you don't have a helmet, you fall off your skateboard with no helmet, that's really scary, isn't it? The helmet might not be the most stylish thing, but it keeps you safe. Same with you go to the oven. What happens is if you open up the oven and you're going to pull something out that's really hot, what's going to happen with nothing on your hands? It's going to really hurt, isn't it? You'll get burned. But if you're wearing an oven mitt, if your hands are inside and protected, and especially if they don't match, then you'll be super duper safe. Okay, your hands will be safe inside and protected. So the world's thinking, we don't want God to kind of restrict us and tell us what to do. We want to do our own thing and be completely free. But actually, it means you don't have God to keep you safe. And so that's a really sad thing to do, isn't it? So the world, Psalm 2 tells us, doesn't want God, doesn't like God. But what does God think of that? What does God think of all the people in the world thinking, let's get together and get rid of God? Here's the question. Is God scared that all the people are trying to gang up against him? Is God scared? No. Because God is bigger and stronger and way more powerful than anyone or anything. God's not scared. In fact, look at verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven, this is God who is so enormous, his throne is in heaven, laughs. The Lord ridicules them. When people try to gang up against God, he laughs because we are so puny compared to God. See, imagine one of your Lego figures comes up to you and says, I'm taking over. I'm going to be your boss. I'm taking you down. You got nothing. I'm going to take all your money. I'm going to take all your stuff. I'm going to take all your things. I'm going to take all your friends. See you later. You're gone. I've got you. Imagine, what are you going to do with your Lego figure that says that? You can't even stand up. That's how puny he is. Here's what I think you do with your Lego figure. The bowl was just an added bonus. I should put him in with the broken egg. Do you know what I mean? The Lego figure comes up and threatens you. You're like, well, whatever, see you later. An ant comes up and threatens you. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. You laugh. It's like that when the world says, God, we're going to take over. God laughs because we're tiny compared to him. But that's not the only thing Psalm 2 tells us happens. Verse 5 also says, God laughs at the world for thinking we can take over, but also it makes God angry. It makes God angry that we try and take over. God made the world, and he loves the world that he made, and he loves us. And it makes him angry that people try and tell him to go away, and people try and take over, and people try to take his place. God is angry that people who he made to be just like him have become rebels and criminals and sinners. But even though the world is mean to God, that's what this passage is saying. The world has been mean to God. God still loves the world. Even though the world rejects God, God cares for the world and looks after the world. Because notice though that even though the world doesn't want God and they don't want the king, God gives them something amazing. God gives them a king. The world says we don't want a king, but what does God give them? Verse 6, he gives the world his special king. Because God is able to do the very thing the world is trying to stop. The world is trying to make it that there is no king. And God says, here he is. Here is my special king. And there are four things that make this king very, very special that we see in this passage. Have a look at verse 7. The king is God's son. The king says, I will declare the Lord's decree. This is what God said to me, he says. God said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. The king that God gives is very special because he is God's son. That means that God loves this king very, very much, like a father loves his son. And it means the king loves God very much, like a son loves his father. And it means the king is just like God. The way a son is like his father. And the king does what God does. The king is like God. The way a son is like his father. This is a very special king, isn't it? To a world that says we don't want God, God gives his very own son to be the king. The second thing we see that makes this king amazing and awesome is he's going to rule the whole world. Have a look at verse 8. God says to the king, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. What that means is God is saying to the king, I will give you the whole world. I'll give you the whole world when you trust me. I will give you every nation and every country and everything that exists, God will give to the king. And he can do that because everything that exists belongs to God. And now he says, and I give it to the king, to my son. God's special king, God's son, is the king of the whole world. I mean, there are lots of different rulers around the world, aren't there? There are prime ministers and there are presidents and there are queens, lots of different rulers of different little bits, and they come and go. But we have a perfect king who will rule forever. The third thing we see about this king, he makes him very special, is he will punish people who reject him. Verse 9, all the people in the world who want to run away from God, who want to take over from God, God's king will punish. All the rulers of the world who think they're more powerful than God, it says he will smash them like pottery. Because if you're not friends with the king who can keep you safe, if you're not friends with the king who can protect you, if you say no to the king, then you will be smashed. Just like we saw with that egg. That actually you try and do it on your own, then you will actually be broken and smashed. But that brings us to the fourth amazing thing we see about the king here. That the king, we see he punishes those who reject him, but he protects his people who trust him. Verse 12, all who take refuge in him, right there at the very end, all who take refuge in him are happy, are blessed. Life is good for them. Now, to take refuge means to find shelter and to be safe inside. The Bible tells us that we need to take shelter inside Jesus. And if we trust Jesus, he'll protect us. Just like that egg at the beginning, inside the kind of soft and bouncy sleeping bag, that egg was completely safe. Drop it, nothing happened to the egg. Just like when we trust Jesus, we are inside and we are kept safe. It's a little bit like, have you ever been in the middle of a massive storm when there's enormous winds and it's so loud and there's rain and there's lightning and thunder and hailstones? But when you're inside your house, you're safe and warm and dry, aren't you? You're safe and warm and dry because all the wind is hitting the house and not you. All the rain is landing on the house and doesn't touch you, and the hailstones bounce off the house. It's like that when we trust in Jesus. We are safe inside because all of the punishment that we should have got for doing the wrong thing has actually landed on Jesus when he died on the cross for us. But if we're safe inside him, when we trust in him, when we're friends with him, then all of that stuff, none of that touches us because we are safe inside Jesus because he's the king and he's God's son. And he's powerful and he loves us. So everyone, I want us to learn this morning that Jesus is God's special king. Jesus is God's son. Jesus rules the whole world. And Jesus will punish those who reject him. And he will protect those who trust him. And Psalm 2 tells us how we should treat him if he's the king. If Jesus is the king of the whole world, then it says, verse 10, we should listen to him when he speaks because he knows best. Verse 11, we should serve him because he's awesome. We should serve him and do what he says. And we should rejoice in him because he is amazing. Jesus is God's special king and he keeps us safe. So let us pray to him now because we trust him and we love him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us and you've given us an awesome king. You've given us your son, Jesus, our Lord. Please help us to keep trusting in him, to be protected and safe in Jesus. Thank you so much that he died on the cross for us. And we pray that you'd help us to always trust him forever. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.